Blog Talk Radio.
AS, this is AST Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Arden back with another live post show following another WWE event. Thank you for tuning in as usual. I really appreciate it. And of course, for tonight, the post show is surrounding the WWE Fastlane pay-per-view, their annual February event. And this is a very important event, mostly because this is our last big step before we move on to WrestleMania. You know, you already know we're in WrestleMania season, but this is our last big step. This is really the step that you have to take in order to really see who's going to be where at WrestleMania. So this is just such a big event. I mean, even when it was named No Way Out, you know, it was very important because this really either confirmed or just laid down more groundwork for what will be WrestleMania. And Fastlane, I think from tonight, you can say whatever you want. I think personally, as we talk about it over the night, I think there was some groundwork laid, but I also do believe that there was also a lot of things unsettled, you know? I think there's a lot of things unsettled. But, hey, the company now has an extra 2 weeks, I think, based on the calendar. There's, like, an extra 2 weeks and some change to really prepare for WrestleMania, and that's what we have to hope for. But either way, I just want to say thank you once again for tuning in. Of course, please follow me on Twitter, at Arden Sports Talk. Please check out my YouTube channel. Everything is in the description below. But coming into this pay-per-view, you know, my thoughts were really just, man, you have to make sure everything is done right to where the picture can be clear or starting to become clear going into what will be WrestleMania. And I think that was more evident than ever tonight because of the fact that look at the roster. Look at what's going on with guys, the injuries. Yes, a name or two may come back, but you can't bank on that, you know? And then you think about, okay, wow, there's only 6 weeks left until the big show. We have to do what we have to do tonight to make sure that we can move on. And I'm very intrigued because, like I told you basically in the beginning of the show, I think for tonight it was really more 50-50. I think it was 50% some of the groundwork got laid down, and the other 50% was we really won't know what's going on until, let's say, after the next 2 weeks of Raw and SmackDown. But when you look at the matches, I'm actually upset. I'm not going to say I'm upset at myself. I'm upset at the WWE for deciding that Kalisto versus Alberto Del Rio for the United States Championship was a pre-show match instead of a main card match. And that was a match I was actually looking forward to. What happened was I went out to get something to eat. I go on Twitter, and eventually I'm seeing people tweet about the match. And, yes, technically I could have rushed and hopped on my WWE Network account and go check out the match. But it's also like, why is this pre-show? What is the point of this being pre-show? This is supposed to be a freaking main card event, especially when we look at the main card itself. I mean, I could perfectly see it being one of the final matches of the night. And it said he had it as the pre-show, and I was very upset because it appeared to be a good match from what Twitter said, from both guys involved to the announcer to everything. So I'm pretty pissed off that I missed that match. I guess I have to go back and look at it, but I can still touch on who won, and Kalisto won. He retained the title, and I think rightfully so, man. The WWE is desperately in a position, and I know we always talk about this company being in the position where it has to develop talent. But I think more than ever, it needs to develop talent right now and to put guys in positions where they can be held accountable and put guys in positions where they have to be challenged to make a belt more relevant like that. And I really feel as if Kalisto, with the United States Championship, I think if he can be booked the right way, matched up properly, I think Kalisto could go on a pretty good run in terms of a singles competitor in the short term for right now. I'm not going to talk long term and I'm definitely not going to talk, you know, WWE World Heavyweight Championships. I'm not going to say that can't happen, but I just think if we're focusing on right here, right now, Kalisto could be a good mid-card guy. He has the look. He has the skill set. He has the crowd behind him for the most part. Let him defend that belt, put on some high-quality matches. Because the mission is still the same for the WWE close to a year later, which is you want your secondary titles to have the same value that it did before. There is a reason why that you put the United States Championship on John Cena and you did the U.S. Open Challenge. You know, hold up a second. Sorry about that. I really felt like I had to yawn. Been a long 2 days, but it's been really productive. But like I was saying, there's a reason why they said, John Cena, we're going to make you the U.S. champion, and we're going to do the U.S. challenges. There's a reason why they gave the belt to Daniel Bryan eventually, because you're trying to make these belts matter again. Because these belts, for quite some time, did matter. It didn't have the same value. The United States Championship for a guy, or the Intercontinental Championship, should be considered the next step up. It should be looked at with some type of prestige. It should be looked at with some type of honor. It should be looked at with some type of foreshadowing that says, man, if that guy's carrying a belt right there, that means he's going to go on to do bigger and better things in the future. That's what it's supposed to be. You look at the United States Championship. Heck, John Cena in the mid-2000s, 2004, 2005. Cena having that U.S. title was big for him at that time, along with his character development, because it really made that belt legit to where when other people won it, it was looked at as a big deal. I think about the Intercontinental Championship, and I just have to go back to the Attitude Era / the new era following that. What was that? The Ruthless Aggression Era, right? Ruthless Aggression Era. I think about the fact that, okay, you think about the late 90s, guys like The Rock carried that belt at one point, Triple H, Stone Cold, then eventually seen going into the early 2000s, guys such as Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, Edge, Christian, even eventually seeing Randy Orton. Like, that title, the IC title, was important because, again, it was looked at as, man, that guy has the belt, he must be the next one up. Like, it's going to be his time soon. You know, like, there's a great history. There's great histories behind both of those belts. And it needs to be built up to the point where, moving forward, whoever's carrying those belts, it should be looked at as a big deal for him. It shouldn't just be looked at as, yeah, you know, we think he's ready to carry a belt. Which belt should it be? It should be, man, Kalisto, okay, he's the United States Championship holder. But whatever time we have a hole in the belt, let's have him out there representing the title well, representing himself well, putting on some good matches, defending the belt, and bringing back the prestige. That's what it's about. But I say that to say this when it comes to Kalisto and Alberto Del Rio. I think it was just a really good match between those two. Good match. Really can't complain. You shouldn't complain. Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks versus Team Bad, Naomi and Tamina. That was the first official match of when this show went on the air. That was about a good 10 minutes. And actually, let me say, there it is. There is that yawn. I knew that yawn was coming. Sorry about that. I knew it was coming. I was fighting it off for like literally the first 10 minutes of the show. And I knew it was coming. Like I said, I had a very long weekend, but it was productive. But Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks versus Team Bad, that was the opening match. And let me say, you know, at first I was intrigued because I was like, a Divas tag match to open up the show? Never really seen that before. But I have to give the ladies credit. They did their thing, man, on both sides for a 10-minute match. And you know what? The Divas can really get crapped on a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can really get crapped on a lot. We can criticize them a lot. But with that said, you also have to give them their respect and give them praise for when they actually put on performance. You dig what I'm saying? And I think for the ladies, they did just that. Like, they put on a really good performance. Simple as that. And when you think about Sasha Banks and where she is in terms of being that girl that's up next in the Divas division, or you think about a girl like Becky Lynch, who she's been getting some pretty good FaceTime over the last couple months, whether it was with her angle with Charlotte or whoever. This is somebody that's been putting in solid work too. And I think girls like Naomi and Tamia, they need opportunities to work also. And I think for the WWE, it shouldn't be as we're going to work with them and put them on a short leash. It should just be, you need people to be respectable. You know, you need people to be respectable. You need people at certain positions. And I think that at times is really hurting the WWE. I think really that is what's hurting the WWE a lot these days. It's not only injuries, but it's the fact that we're forgetting that certain superstars, not even certain, let me rephrase that, all superstars are meant to be at a certain level, at a certain position. That's not saying that they can't work hard or harder to get better and to move up, but certain superstars are meant to be high-level superstars. But there's some superstars that are meant to be mid-level superstars. And there's some superstars who's meant to be at the bottom. But guess what? When you know that, and yet you still take pride in your work and you understand these things, that will make for a great card. And that will still make everybody look good. I think the biggest problem for the WWE is we don't have enough clarification on who's who. We don't really know who's supposed to be the big-time stars or who's not. We don't know if so-and-so is going to get the opportunity to continue working and to continue, you know, improving their craft. We don't know, because people just get plugged in and then suddenly they get plugged out and they get unrealistic expectations. One week they have a great high, the other week they have a low. And I think for girls like Naomi and Tamia, they just need the opportunity to work. And I think you need them to be fixtures in the division, in the Divas division. Not saying fixtures in terms of, oh, they have to be the most important or among that. I think all of them are important. But you just need folks there that you just know, man, if we need a match like we needed tonight, 10 minutes, or we need a good feud for a month, we should be able to say we could plug in a Naomi or a Tamia and make sure it's all good, you know? And I think you need to understand. I think the WWE has to understand that, because based on the fans' support and the backstage support with whatever's happening, some girls are only going to be looked at as stars. Sasha Banks is looked at as a star. She's high level, or should be high level. So you got to treat that right. You get what I'm saying? Like, you have to treat that right and make sure it works out. Becky Lynch, potentially high level, but I think she's mid-level, and that's okay. Charlotte and them, or Healthy Nikki, those are chicks that looked at as high level, but I just think, again, it goes back to what I said about mid-level and low. It's just, when you do things correctly and you give people opportunities and you know what roles they're supposed to fulfill, everything usually plays out. But I thought the match was solid. I thought the match for 10 minutes was solid. I thought there was enough action in there. There was actually some wrestling, some good moves. I couldn't complain at all, especially since Sasha and Becky won. The IC title match, Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler. I mean, both of these guys we know put on some really good matches. We know that. That's what they do. They put on good matches at the very least. And I think this one was just another one to add under their belt. It was a good, solid, physical match. And it was something where the result was expected, which was Kevin Owens winning, which he did, which means he kept the belt, retained. It's about the fact that even though you have a result that's expected, you still need to put on a good match that offsets the fact that you had an ending that was predicted, that was predictable. And I think they did that. They was able to put on a good physical match. I like the pace of the match. I like some of the moves they was able to execute. And I thought that it told a good, solid story. It was just two guys swinging, two guys fighting over the belt hard, doing what they have to do, and Kevin Owens left on top. But seeing this with Kevin Owens, and now thinking about WrestleMania is exactly what I said at the beginning of the show, I think Fastlane did half lay down groundwork, and then the other half, things are up in the air. Because when I really look at the card and I think about certain guys, I just go, what in the hell are they going to do at WrestleMania? Like, WrestleMania really might be the home of the Battle Royals this year. I mean, because you look at the card for Fastlane or and other guys, it's like only quite a few is going to get the opportunity to really be in a marquee program. Everybody else is probably going to have to be in the Battle Royals. And Kevin Owens is going to be one of them with the IC belt, right? It's going to be him because at this point at Mania, it should basically be expected to be Owens versus, I don't know, Ambrose versus Ziggler versus whoever's the IC title contender. That's what I expect it to be because in terms of one-on-one competition, what can you really do? The options are limited. But to talk about that match, I thought that match worked. I thought it really did. I just thought Fastlane in general was just a solid show. I mean, I thought it was cool. On a scale of 1 through 10, I'd probably give it about a 7 to 7.5. It was all right. That's all I can say. It was all right. It wasn't, I don't think it was as bad as people said it was. But I'm also not going to act like, oh, man, like, it was incredible. I just thought it was all right. It was all right enough for me to watch and not lose interest, you know? Really can't believe at the midpoint of the freaking pay-per-view, we had Big Show, Kane, and Ryback versus the Wyatt family. Let me just tell you something. I really laughed hard when I saw that the Wyatt family lost. Because it's like, what do you do now? Because what everybody's expecting is Brock Lesnar versus Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family at Mania. That seems like the logical thing to do. But when they lose, and then, oh, by the way, they really wasn't involved in what you call it, the main event, you start wondering. And it goes back to what I said. Half of the pay-per-view saw some groundwork being laid down, and then the other half, or heck, more than half, I don't know what to expect. But I do see that we have a caller on the air. The first caller ever during one of my post shows. I greatly appreciate it. You're about to be on the air. What's going on, man?
Hi, this is from 540. My name is John from Front Royal, Virginia.
Hey, how's everything?
What?
I said, hey, how's everything?
Everything's good. Everything's good tonight, sir. Yeah, about Fastlane. I mean, it was a pretty great show. Some things I did not agree with, especially R-Truth versus Curtis Axel. I mean, what the hell did you do with that? You should have just got it for the pre-show instead of booking Kalisto versus Del Rio. That's my one big effing problem. Sorry for the language.
That's right. No problem, but I agree with you. You know, that's something that actually made me upset because I wasn't able to see Kalisto versus Del Rio. You know, I wasn't able to see that, and I was really expecting that to be on the card. So I definitely agree with you there.
Yeah. The main event was between Reigns, Lesnar, and Ambrose in a triple threat match. That was great. AJ Styles and Chris Jericho, I'm not going to toot my own horn. That was a good match. I mean, back and forth. I mean, that was the rubber match they anticipated to see, and they got it.
That's right. That was a good match as well, too. That was definitely one that, I'm checking the results right now in terms of the time limit, that one went about for over 16 minutes. But that was definitely exciting. But just to give you a question, I've been saying so far throughout the show that, for me personally, half of me thinks about the pay-per-view and thinks that I saw some groundwork being laid down, and then the other.
Yeah, I heard you before I came on.
Mm-hmm. So, what are your thoughts? I mean, do you think that the picture going into WrestleMania is a little clear, or do you think we'll find out over the next coming weeks?
We're going to have to definitely find out in the next couple of weeks, because you got like a few more weeks to WrestleMania. You got to add up some storylines. You got to have Bray versus Brock because of what happened at the Royal Rumble. And you got to have Undertaker take on an opponent, which I've heard could be Goldberg, The Rock, Kurt Angle, or Sting, but it could be Taker versus Sting either way. And then you could see like a tease and tension between Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns.
Definitely. We definitely have a whole lot of options. I really appreciate you calling in, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully we have a good WrestleMania season.
What's your name, sir, today? What's your name?
Arden Sports Talk.
Well, we would love to appreciate if you came on our show every Monday afternoon. Me and J.D. Jared DiGeromo, we have a show called Raw Radio. It's on Talk Show. Sorry for plugging it, but I have to do it on your show. Our number is 1-724-444-7444, and hopefully you fans can get to listen in too. We'll talk about what happened at Fastlane last night, tomorrow, and we'll go from there. But all in all, pretty great show. Some things I agreed with, some things I didn't. But thank you for letting me be your first caller today, and hope you have a rest of a good night, and hopefully I'll talk to you soon again.
Absolutely. Thank you. I really appreciate it. But yeah, that was a great call in just now from right there from our guest. Really do appreciate it. And, you know, it's just what we talked about, just like what the caller talked about, which is the fact that so for me, it just comes back to, like I said before, and I hate to repeat this point over and over, I just think it comes back to, again, it's just some part of me understands what's going on and part of me doesn't, you know? And when I look at the rest of the card, it goes back to what I said about the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view was all right. It was all right. Nothing too crazy. I think Charlotte versus Brie Bella had the potential to be good. And I think it could have been better if it wasn't as sloppy. Like, I was able to watch the match for the time that it was on. It was on for like a little over 12 minutes. And yes, they had some good spots and the crowd was involved at times, but I think it was just a little too sloppy. And I think that's why the match probably didn't really fill up to its potential. But, yeah, it's also what me and the caller just talked about, man. I'm really upset. You really would have Curtis Axel versus R-Truth at the tail end of this pay-per-view when we could have had Kalisto and Alberto Del Rio. Like, that to me is just mind-boggling. I really don't get that at all. But to each their own, you know, and AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho, man, let me tell you something, that rivalry was a good rivalry, even though it was for a month. That, to me, was good booking, that, to me, was good writing, and that was something to where the WWE did their job correctly with that. AJ Styles is somebody, like I talked about with the levels earlier, he's meant to be a legitimate, big-time player that could also be a mid-level guy, but really a high-level guy. And he's somebody that, hey, you could tell he's over with the fans, just like my dude Randy Cruz say. Shout out to Randy. His interest is already top five in terms of theme songs. And you already know the guy is a very accomplished athlete and very skilled. And this is somebody that has to be taken seriously and should be involved in programs that matter because he matters, right? We agree there. But when we talk about the main event, triple threat match meant to determine the number one contender who will go on to WrestleMania to face Triple H for the WWE title. It goes back to what I said earlier. I forgot the match, but yeah, I talked about it with Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler. But it goes back to what I said about that match when it comes to this match, which is when the result is expected and it's very predictable, you have to put on a good match that offsets that predictability because a really good match could have fans, even though they're expecting something to happen or expecting this person to win, could suddenly forget that and get caught up in the match. And I'm a little disappointed in the match. Like, in general, I still really like the match, but I'm a little disappointed because the match only took place for over 16 minutes. I think that match deserves another 5. But I am happy on the flip side because I think a lot of us was also expecting, because a lot of us are, you know, putting things together and we're thinking Brock Lesnar and Bray Wyatt at Mania. So we were expecting the Wyatt interference to come on. But when you watch that match and you see how multiple times Reigns and Ambrose was able to take out Lesnar, I didn't want to see the Wyatt interfere because I felt like personally that would have been overkill. So I'm happy that didn't happen. But I thought the match was a good match. And I think the match was the type of match where, again, even though there was a very predictable result, you was invested in the match as a fan and as a viewer, you know, because all three of their guys was able to show their strengths and what there was about. Brock Lesnar looked like the beast, and he looked strong. I think Dean Ambrose, even though he got pinned, he looked strong. And Reigns was Reigns, and he did what he had to do. And I personally just like how the match was because it was like, yes, even though you had Reigns and Ambrose working together at times, those two still competed and still fought their butts off against each other. And it got physical, you know? And I just think with Brock, it was just Brock looking like the beast he is. I mean, there's a reason why he has the type of dude that he has with the company. You know what I'm saying? In terms of a guy who could really show up whenever he wants and do whatever he wants because he just adds another element to the show. Regardless if it's with a healthy roster to the roster that he is now, he's very important. And I think the match did it justice. And I think at Mania, it goes to what we're expecting, which is Roman Reigns winning the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. But I will say this, though. Going into the match, even though I did expect Reigns to win, part of me had a growing feeling that you never know with the company that there could be a swerve in terms of Ambrose winning or Lesnar winning. A growing part of me was thinking that. But for the most part, I stuck with my Reigns prediction, came through. And now I'm at the point where it's just like, man, over these next 2 weeks via Raw and SmackDown, I just need to know how are things going to set itself up so we can really get things going for WrestleMania 32. Because that's key, because tomorrow's the 22nd, then the week after the 29th. So by that first Raw in March, we should start having things figured out for Mania. I mean, really, not even figured out. It should have been figured out. Because when the first Raw happens, and that's March 7th, 3 weeks. 3 weeks of Monday Night Raws and Thursday Night SmackDowns to figure this thing out and to make sure things are playing out accordingly. So I'm very intrigued by it. I'm very intrigued by it. And, of course, we're all in this together because it would definitely be a wild ride going into WrestleMania 32. But other than that, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you to the caller for calling in and sharing his thoughts on it. Really do appreciate that. And again, sorry for, you know, the yawns. Sorry for if I sound like if I was about to yawn or if I sound, I don't know, disinterested. I definitely wasn't disinterested. It was just, I had a very, very long weekend in terms of work, travel, and the New York and Connecticut area, but it was all worth it because I had a lot of fun. Worked hard. The athletes I work with work hard. And we made that shmoney. Ow. But either way, man, thank you for listening. Of course, please follow me on Twitter at Arden Sports Talk. Check out the YouTube channel. And you already know with my Twitter page. Everything that you need to see from me is on there. And that's that. Thank you for listening. And of course, the next time we'll be talking wrestling again at this type of level, it will be on the night of April 3rd for WrestleMania 32 live from Dallas. So I'll see you guys then. Peace.